Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Bow with me, please. Father, we do adore you. We stand in awe of you, Lord, that you would come and visit us, come in the flesh. This time of year reminds us of that. Father, I just pray your blessings upon this service. I pray your presence upon this service. As Brother Cal comes forward and opens your word to us, Lord, I pray that it would be a new and real and live to us. Such a beautiful picture you've painted for us in this book of Ruth, of your grace and your mercy. I'm just overwhelmed. I'm like Ruth, Lord, why would you even take notice of us? Why would you be so merciful and kind to us? So, Father, bless Brother Cal. Fill him, anoint him with your spirit for your glory. Not anything else, but for your glory. And I pray, Lord, that everybody in this place will, if they don't know you as Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray that somebody will be set free this morning. Lord, I pray that when we leave this place, we'll talk about it. We'll say it was as if we could hear the chains hit the floor, the chains of bondage broken free. So, Lord, have your way here, Holy Spirit. We're the sheep of your pasture. We've come to feast on the bread of life. Bless us now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
All right. Good morning. Did y'all say hello to our adult and teen challenge men over here this morning? Give them a warm Second Mile welcome today, would you? Love you guys. We're proud of you. And I love all of you. It isn't the Christmas season a special time? It really is. We are in Ruth chapter 2. We're moving, we're running through Ruth this Christmas. And we find ourselves in chapter 2 of Ruth this morning. You know, really, the book of Ruth is the Christmas story told centuries in advance. And this morning we're going to meet a character in this narrative by the name of Boaz. Boaz, his name means a mighty man. How many mighty men we got in here this morning? That's what I thought. Two. All right. Boaz just happened to be Bethlehem's most, eligible bachelor. I thought about Wally Burchett, my buddy, this morning. Clarksville's one of Clarksville's most eligible bachelors. But Ruth, the Moabitess, had come to Bethlehem with her mother-in-law, Naomi. And she had heard about the great God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Ruth chapter 1 and verse 16 tells us that she wanted to know this God that she'd heard the family talking about for years. But Ruth had a problem. She was a Moabite, and the scripture says in Deuteronomy 23:3 that no Moabite down to the 10th generation could have anything to do with the Jewish faith. And so Ruth was a woman in need of grace. Y'all know how do you spell grace? J-E-S-U-S. Y'all, amen belonged on the end of that. It's Christmas. Let's give God glory. And so Jesus is grace personified. And that's what Christmas is all about. Christmas is the story of how God displayed and is displaying His amazing grace. And so I want us to look in and listen to and look at the amazing grace that Ruth finds in a Bethlehem field this morning. Let's all rise as we honor the Word of God. I know we've been up and down like yo-yos, but There's nothing like quite like it when the people of God get together on God's day to hear the Word of God and to allow the Spirit of God to move us. Ruth chapter 2. I'll just read the first three verses and then we'll move on from there. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, her mother-in-law, "Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Father, would you add your blessing, as Brother Billy's already prayed, to the wonderful, inspiring, authoritative, inerrant, infallible, inspired Word of God. Bless your Word today. Get your servant out of the way and speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we ask it. All God's men and women said, amen. Please be seated. Now in this narrative that we call chapter 2, there are several movements. And the first thing we see here is that the grace of God is always at work. Look at your neighbor and say, God's grace is working. Whether you can see it or not see it, the grace of Almighty God is always at work. Now, I'm just, you know, Ruth and Naomi had come home to Bethlehem with empty hands, empty hearts, and an empty home. And we're told that Naomi had grown bitter. And she was even blaming God for her circumstances. But little did she know she's about to receive and experience the grace of Almighty God. And I want to tell you, God's at work right here. His grace is always working. And so in my mind's eye, you know how I love to read in between the lines of Scripture and use a little sanctified imagination. But I imagine Ruth and Naomi are sitting there at some old worn down table there in a little shack on the edge of town. And Ruth must have looked up and said, "You know, we ain't got anything to eat, Mom. I'm tired of living like this. I've got to go find a job." And Naomi probably looked across the table and said, "Yeah, honey, we'll just go get signed up for some Social Security tomorrow." Well, back in the day, they didn't have Social Security. But God had a system of taking care of poor people. And I want to tell you, God loves poor people. He has a special, special place in His great big heart for the hurting and for the homeless and for the helpless. He loves poor folks. Aren't you thankful for that? By the way, we were all spiritually bankrupt. We were poor. And Jesus stepped in. So hallelujah is right, brother. This is an amazing story when you begin to see what God's doing. And so, let me back up and say this. Leviticus 19 verses 9 and 10 reveals that when reapers would reap from the sheaves that were in the field. But if they dropped some of the gleanings, and there was, you know, in the corners of the field, there was always some leftover grain and wheat and that kind of thing. Well, they weren't to pick that up. They couldn't even go back to the field a second time according to the law. Why? So that the poor folks could come to the field and get the leftover gleanings. And I just want to say to you right now, we as the church ought to be helping poor folks. But can I just say this? You don't help anybody when you give them a hand out instead of a hand up. These poor folks still had to work. They had to go to the field and get the gleanings. And whatever we do to help folks who are hurting and in need, we don't want to damage their self-esteem and their self-respect by just giving them a handout. That's not helping them. My Bible tells me if a man doesn't want to work or a woman doesn't want to work and can work but won't work, they shouldn't eat. That's what the Bible says. And so we've got to figure out a way, brothers and sisters, to help people and give them a hand up. Y'all with me so far? Well, Ruth says goodbye to Naomi, and she leaves early that morning, and she heads down. Little does she know she's about to have her socks blessed off. And she heads down to a field there, and she shows up in a field where the man that owns this field is one of her dead father-in-law's closest relatives. His name's Boaz, a mighty man. Little does she realize that the grace of God is at work. And you say, oh, Pastor, that's just a coincidence. That's just an accident. I don't believe in luck. I do not believe in accidents. I believe in appointments. I believe that the grace and the providence of God is always working. I don't understand everything. I heard a tragic story last night. Was sent to me a text. I don't understand why everything happens the way it happens. But my brothers and my sisters, you listen to this. Listen to me. Nothing happens to us without it passing through the hands of Almighty God. And God is infinite and I'm finite. He's got all the knowledge. I've got very little knowledge. He's got all the power. I don't have any power. He's everywhere all the time. And I can't get anywhere unless I get in my little truck and go somewhere. And so are y'all with me so far? I mean, and know this. Wherever God leads, God feeds. And wherever God guides, God provides. And wherever God directs, He protects. Nothing can happen to us without it first passing through the hands of Almighty God. And little did Ruth know, she's about to receive the favor and the blessings and the almighty grace of God. And I want to tell you something. This Christmas, if you're in need, guess what? God takes special. I don't know who I'm talking to up in here today, but the grace of God is at work right now in your life. Even though you can't see Him, even though you can't touch Him, God's working about everything to bring all the circumstances and the situation in your life so you can meet a Redeemer named Jesus. Hallelujah. And so God's working. Say that with me. God's working. His grace is with us. Then secondly, this grace, this amazing grace, ought to be experienced. And it can be experienced. How many of y'all have experienced the grace of God? A few of you. Amen. I'm praying God's grace would be experienced by everyone in the church house today. Look at verse 4. Now behold. Now anytime you see those words, the biblical author is trying to get your attention. He's saying, stop. Wait a minute. Listen. Watch this. Lean in. Let me tell you something. Pay attention. Now behold, Boaz, there's our mighty man, came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless you. Now, Boaz is a believer who's in business. And evidently he's been down in town taking care of some business at the First National Bank or somewhere. And he comes down to his field and he sees his workers and his employees working. And you know what Boaz, first thing out of his mouth, you know what he says? God bless y'all. And they look up at him and say, oh, bless you, boss man. Let me just stop right here and park for just a second. Do you take Jesus with you when you go to work? Does His name come up in your conversation? It should. Man, if you've got Him in here, hello? And so Boaz is a believer in business, and we need more businessmen and businesswomen to witness at work and at school. We're not going to call the kids either. Amen? Y'all with me so far? Okay, let's move. We need to experience the grace. Well, look at verse 5. Then Boaz said to his servants, who was in charge of the reaper, Whose young woman is this? So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, it's the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. Verse 7, and she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaf. So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. And so I'm wondering, what was Ruth thinking about? She's a stranger. She's a foreigner. She looks a little bit different than everybody in Bethlehem. And I'm sure she's wondering how she will be received. And I bet the women, you know, that she's gleaning with in that field said, you see this? See this? This woman? This Moabite woman? She's down here in the field with her. You know, it is so important the way we meet and greet people. Y'all, I'm doing some halfway decent preaching this morning. I love my parking lot brothers out here. That's why we've got them out there, to smile and open doors and greet people. I want folks to feel welcome when they come to Second Mile Church. That's why we've got some of our best looking folks on the door back here. We don't have anybody that's been cursed with lemon sipping, persimmon eating on the door here. Because we want everybody to feel welcome. And I wondered, you know, if Ruth's not thinking, how am I going to be received? and this great God that I've heard about all my life, I wonder if he's going to meet my needs today. And here comes Boaz. He's already given a witness to his employees. God bless you all. And then he sees the manager of the other reapers and he says, who in the world is that? He sees this dark-complected, brown-eyed, drop-dead, gorgeous, beautiful girl gleaning down there in his field. And he wants to know who she is. And I mean, he's got a bad case of it already. Guys, you remember the first time you ever saw her? Some of y'all look like, huh? You remember the first time you ever saw her? And I mean, you were just smitten. Well, that's the way Boaz is. He sees her, and I mean, his heart's pounding, his liver quivers, and his throat's wiggling. I mean, he's all in. And he says, who is this woman? You see, God's at work. And God's arranging all the circumstances in Ruth's life. Her life was about to change forever. She was about to find God's amazing grace. She was about to find a redeemer in an old barley field in Bethlehem. Glory to God. And when you begin to experience the grace of God, some things happen. First of all, God's amazing grace, if you're experiencing that, you'll get God's direction for your life. Look at verse 8. Boaz said to Ruth, honey pie, sugar britches, sweet thing. You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Don't you go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. He's giving direction to her. And I want to, can I just say this? Whenever you receive the amazing grace of Almighty God, He'll give you direction in your life. Proverbs 3:6 says He will direct your path. If you need direction in your life, just ask God for a little snippet of His grace. And then secondly, God's amazing grace provides protection. Look at verse 9. Let your eyes be on the field. He's still talking to Ruth. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you're thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. Jump down to verse 12. The Lord repay your work and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. The picture there is of a mother hen gathering her chicks under his wing. When you receive God's grace, you will find his protection. Now, God doesn't deliver us from danger and wicked things and bad things, but He will insulate us when we're in the middle of those things. Stay with me now. Now, I don't understand everything. I don't know why some people seem to have it made and other people just have to struggle. I don't get all that, but I want to tell you, God's got a bigger plan and purpose than Cal Hampton can come up with. And His best is far better eternally than my best. And so we just surrender. And I want to tell you, nothing, let me say it again, nothing happens without it having first passed through the omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient hands of Almighty God. And He's a Romans 8:28 God. If I want to tell you, He can turn ashes into beauty. And Betty, I'm thinking about that family this morning. He can turn what looks to be a tragedy and turn it all around into something for our good and His glory. Somebody shout amen. So God's at work. And when you begin to experience that work and that grace, you get direction, you get protection, and ooh, you get affection. Look at this. Verse 10. So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground and said to Him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I'm a foreigner?" And Boaz answered and said to her, "It's been fully reported to me all that you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother in the land of your birth and have come to a people whom you didn't even know before." Verse 13, then she said, "Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I'm not like one of your maidservants." When you begin to experience the grace of God, you not only get direction and protection, you get His affection. That word "spoken kindly," those two words in the Hebrew mean, "Oh Boaz, you have spoken to my heart." Is there anybody here? There's nothing like the amazing grace of our God. He loves you with an everlasting love. Don't you let the devil tell you He doesn't. He does. There's nothing you can do that'll make Him love you any more than He already does for all of eternity right now. Look at somebody and tell them, God loves you. Tell them His affections are upon you. Can y'all not speak that one? God's affection are on His people. There's nothing like the grace of God. Nothing like, and then there's one final thing that God does when you get, when He pours grace into your life, you get satisfaction. Woo, I like this. Man, look at verse 14. Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, "Come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers and he passed parts of grain to her. And she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. I'm going to tell you what, I am a happy customer. I am satisfied with Jesus. He gives satisfaction. And by the way, Boaz, he had just met Ruth that day and asked her out for a lunch date. I've told y'all my dad on my father and my mother's second date, Daddy proposed to her. And I said, "Dad, what took you so long?" And you know what his response was? "I didn't want her to think I was getting in a hurry." And so Boaz says, "Honey, let me take you out for a little Bethlehem lunch." And so I'm reading between the lines again, and they went out for some Bethlehem nachos. Parched corn and vinegar dip. And yet, she walked away from that meal. What does it say? Satisfied. Yes, glory to God. He'll fill your every need. Look at verse 15. It just gets better. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves and don't reproach her. Also let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean and do not rebuke her." It sounds like to me her provision was kind of fixed. She was even going to get to glean among the sheaves. In other words, she was getting more than just leftovers. Isn't that just like our great God? He'll give you more than leftovers. He'll meet every single one of your needs, and every now and then, you'll get some of your wants. I wasn't going to share this with Billy, but I shared this with Billy this week. But I'm doing this to brag on God. I don't even know that I've told Diana the whole story here. But looking at the Evans bunch back here, I just got to share this. Because God blesses in ways we have no understanding of how He's going to bless. But Brother Tony, about, it's probably been 2 months ago, maybe 2.5 months ago, you're going to hear from him, and you need to come to Billy's Sunday school class today to hear about Mission Voice Network. But they do ministry over in India, and God's moving in India. And they had how many in Vacation Bible School this year? 25,000. And what were the resources needed to take care of 25,000 in Vacation Bible School? What an investment. And so the Lord spoke to your pastor and said, give $1,000 to Mission Voice Network. Now, y'all, that thought did not come from me. Are y'all getting that? I mean, that's not a thought Cal Hampton's going to come up with. Okay? And I said, $1,000? Lord, yeah, $1,000. And so I kind of, Brother Tony, I'm ashamed to say this, but I kind of put that off a week or two. And God wouldn't let go of me. He said, you send them $1,000. And I did. And 2 days later, Diana and I were at Peggy and Paul's house marrying a doctor friend of theirs. And do you know what that doctor gave me after the wedding? Most of the time I get $100. Sometimes I don't get anything. I'm serious. I'm just sharing with you. That doctor gave me $1,000. You cannot outgive the grace of Almighty God. And I'm sharing that not to brag on me, but to brag on the grace of God. Hallelujah. Man, I got to wrap this up. The grace of God. God's amazing grace, it ought to be shared. It ought to be shared. And the first thing, first folks that it ought to be shared with is with your family. Look at verse 17. This is good. Oh, so she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Now, I'm a city boy. I don't have a clue what an ephah is. And you know what an ephah is? That's a bushel. That doesn't tell me a thing either. Now, the Barnetts might know what a bushel is. But y'all know what these 2-liter Cokes are? Yeah. Well, that's 33 liters of grain. I said 33 liters. Now, I can get my hands around that, right? In other words, she's got more food. She left that shack that morning broke as Joe's turkey. And now she's coming home with more food than they can even eat. And so she gets to the door, and Mara, Mrs. Bitter, is her mama-in-law, is standing there at the door. Listen to this conversation as Ruth begins to share the grace of God with her family. Verse 18, then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. So she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she'd been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, where have you gleaned today? And where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the man's name with whom I work today is Boaz. Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, oh, honey, blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead. And Naomi said to her, this man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives. Ruth the Moabite said, he also said to me, you shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest. You understand what's going on here? Ruth is sharing with her mother-in-law, with her family, how God's grace is falling on them. She gets to the door and she's loaded up with 33 liters of barley and wheat. And Naomi said, where in the world did you get all this stuff? Where'd you get that? Who gave it to you? Whose field were you working in? What's his name? And Ruth said, I'll never forget his name. He's a mighty man. Mom, his name's Boaz. And Naomi breaks out into hallelujah chorus. Oh, bless God. Bless God. He's one of our closest relatives. He's able to provide for all of our needs the rest of our life. And she begins to give God praise. God's grace is now turning the mother-in-law, her bitter heart, into a good heart again. God is so good. Have mercy. And so she's sharing with her mother-in-law. And by the way, can I just say this? You ought to be sharing God's grace with your family. I mean, it's unthinkable that our children and our aunts and our uncles and our mamas and our daddies would split hell wide open when God has blessed us with His favor. Because when you start sharing the grace of God with your family knows you better than anybody else does, and they'll probably think, man, if He'll bless him, maybe He'll bless me. Hello? And so start sharing those stories with your kids and with your family. It's never too late to see somebody come to faith in Christ. But the reason they're not coming like they need to is because we're not sharing. And we not only share with our family, we share in the field. And this is where I wanted to get. Verse 22, and Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with these young women and that people do not meet you in any other field. So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and wheat harvest. And she dwelt with her mother. What do you think the conversations was like with those women down in the field of Boaz? What do you think that was like, the conversation she got on? I guarantee you, she shared with those women. You know, I grew up in a lost, dark, barren place, in a pagan place. And the grace of God brought me where I am today, to the house of bread. And God is meeting my needs and providing for me. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, we come in here on Sundays, on God's day, with God's people, and get into God's Word, and God's Spirit begins to move, and we lift up Jesus and make much of Him, and we give Him praise and honor and glory and blessing, and that's what we're supposed to do. But my brother, my sister, the work is not in here. It's out in the field. It's out there. We got to get where they are. Whoo! And by the way, brothers, y'all keep washing cars out there on the bypass. People are taking notice of Jesus. This brother right here did. He said, Cal, have you pulled into that place out there on the bypass? There's a bunch of guys out there that are working in the field. Y'all keep sharing the gospel. And brothers and sisters, our work's out in the field. Well, I've run out of time like usual. Now get this picture. Ruth and Boaz. Been down in the field all day. And they're coming up from the field. And Ruth can't take her eyes off of Boaz. And Boaz looks like a dying calf in a rainstorm. He loves her with an everlasting love. And he cares for her. He's going to provide for her. He's going to be her all in all. My brothers and sisters, That is the Christmas story. God has gone to infinite lengths to bring you and me face to face with our Redeemer. Have you met this Jesus, this giver of grace? Have you surrendered to Him? He loves you. There is no practical, there is no sensible reason for you not to receive Christ Jesus today as your Lord and Savior. There's no good reason. Doesn't even make sense not to. And my Bible tells me if you'd be willing to turn from your sin, to forsake it, to walk away from it, and by faith turn to Christ as your only means of forgiveness of sin and salvation, and surrender everything that you are to everything that He is, He will receive you, give you a new heart, cleanse you from all your sin, and He will do things for you and take you places you never dreamed of. He is Christmas personified. Let's bow our heads. It just may be that you're in need of grace today. And my friend, if you're in need of grace, you're in the right place. I'm going to pray for us, and then Brother Andrew's going to lead us in a time of response. This altar is always open. And you can pray and receive Christ for the first and last time, only time you ever need to in this life, and give your life to Jesus. But we want to know about it. You can't be saved and be private about it. We want to share with you how you can go forward. But maybe it's some other issue and you need grace, or a family needs grace, or someone, there's something else that's kind of undone. You need for God to move. And there's nothing like it when God's people get together to pray. And you come to this altar and we will pray over you and lift you up. If you raise your hand there in your seat, we'll come pray for you. Whatever it is. Father, Your amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but by Your grace, I am found. Oh God, help us to continue to share this grace with everybody we come in contact with, and minister life now to us wherever we are, whatever we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all stand with me, and the altar's open. If you need prayer, you come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.